The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on the cutting edge.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to regress just a bit. Last week, if you were with us, we looked at when you read the word, that what's the tone that you read it with? Do you read it really mean-like? Is Jesus like hating the woman at the well? The prostitute that was, that they were going to stone? How do you read the Word of God? And we spoke about, are you tone deaf? If you are, then you need a hearing aid. And we went to James, and we spoke in James about the hearing aid is in James. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and went to verse 4. We're talking again about the tone. You see, folks, many people, maybe not many, I don't know if I should say many, but there's a lot of people that I've listened to from different churches that paint God as this meanie ready to get you, gonna get you. You know, you better do good, and if you do this, then I'll give you that. And if you messed up, man, I'm gonna strike you down. And throughout the Bible, especially even the New Testament, they read the New Testament, and even they look at these different things that the Lord says, that Paul says, things that are done, and in the wrong tone. For instance, Paul speaking to the Corinthians with his second letter. His first letter was a little rebuking. They were out of control. They're having all kinds of crazy things going on. And you know, we spoke about that before. All kinds of crazy things, drunken parties, and they called it communion. You know, just everything. And so Paul talks to him, and he says, look, guys, I love you, but you can't be doing this stuff. It's just not right, and you're going to get, you know, it's not going to be good for you. God's not going to strike you dead, but it's just going to not lead to something good. It's going to lead to something bad. And so he says, I hope you get my tone. Well, they didn't. And so he begins his second letter and says, hey, you must have misunderstood me. I just want to let you know I'm writing these letters for you, not for me, but for you, because it's for your welfare. I love you, and I want you to understand this tone that I'm giving to you. That's not a mean tone, but it's a loving tone, like a loving father. Wow. I love that. I really do. And so as I went to the next verse 5, and throughout the rest of the chapter, I was going to finish it up, God changed my mind and said, don't teach that. I want you to teach something that you forgot, that you went over. Because it goes right with the whole tone thing. It goes right with the whole, you know, whatever good, whatever praiseworthy, you know, think on these things. And what is that? Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. What does that say? This is what that says. If you're with me, give me a hearty amen. Amen. He says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. It's what? Yes and amen. It's yes and amen. It's not no and forget you, or no, maybe. It's yes and amen. Yes and amen. It goes right with the tone that you, when you read the word. It's not, you know, God's not out to get you. He's not out to make you walk the line or anything. I'm just like Paul telling the Corinthian church, I'm not scolding you and being mean to you, but I'm just telling you the truth in love. God himself, through Paul, says God's promises. God's given us a lot of promises. Are yes and amen. I love that. But before we start, in lieu of the unprecedented terrorism in the world today, unrest, that we have racial unrest in our nation today, And this whole hotly contested political year, you got to know, it's like nuts. Just nuts. I would like to address once and finally, at such a time as this. And so with that, Galatians 3:26, I'll start there. Now check this out. Here's the answer to all that stuff, okay? All that stuff. This is my address, and this is my answer. For you are all sons of God. All. All in the Greek is what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Not faith in anything else. Not faith in Huda, Buddha, or Duda. Whoever those guys are. Faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. They put on Christ. And we are in Christ. There is neither, for those people, there is neither black, brown, purple, white, Jew, nor Greek. Did you guys get that? There's no brown, there's no black, there's no purple, there's no pink, there's no whatever. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You know, the whole female movement and then the male movement and all that, you know, crazy stuff that people argue about. There's none of that. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. If we really believe that, would we have unrest like we have in this world today? And believe me, I believe we're in the end times. And my Bible says it's just, you know, it's going to get a little rougher, not better. I pray it gets better. And I think it would get better if we would just know that if we're all one in Christ, then we're His. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, we have a promise here. We got a promise. What's the promise? That our God in heaven, His inheritance, it's us. It's the ones that says, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. It don't matter. All you have to do is have a soul. Doesn't matter what color you are, skin color you are. Doesn't matter, you know, what you do for a living. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, even a communist. If you love Jesus Christ, if you have Him in your heart, you've got an inheritance. What is the inheritance? It's God. God gives that we are His inheritance. Now look, I know some of you all in here, most of you, and I love you. But I'm not real sure I want you as inheritance. I'd rather have, you know, the real deal inheritance. You know, bunch of money, cars, whatever you get when you have inheritance. But God chooses us as an inheritance. Us. And that's a memo, I guess, to you, how I feel about the state of our nation. It's always been Jesus. Always will be Jesus. And if you're a Jesus freak, if you love our Lord, man, that's what we should key on. And if you do, then you're going to help one another, aren't we? We're going to love one another. We're going to give each other our stuff, our money. And you guys have. What a testimony we just had this morning of that fact. Now, our message. Again, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Our word says that God has given us promises. Yes and amen. In fact, of the over 3,000 promises given to us in Scripture, promises that deal with health and happiness, peace and prosperity, family, freedom and finances, and of course security. And even I have found most of the promises people claim for themselves today in the secular world are based upon the Old Testament formula seen in the book of Deuteronomy. For example, Deuteronomy 11, 22 and 23. We should bring it up on the board. There it is. You can read it. There it says, "For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him." Now I'm reading out a little different venue than the translation that's on the board. And here comes the promise. If you do all that, here's the promise. "Then will the Lord drive out these nations before you, and you shall possess greater nations, and mightier than, even mightier than yourselves." Deuteronomy 22:23. What a promise. In fact, so many of the promises we embrace follow what we call the hermeneutical principle of conditional promises. That's a fancy way of saying, if you make your room, you can go to the movie. It's a condition. Make your room, if you clean your room. Make your room, it's kind of difficult. It makes me think of my granddaughter. She hates cleaning her room. Hates it. Throws her hand up. "Oh, no, not the room." You know, many times we do that, don't we? He's like, "Oh, no, it's not our room, maybe." It's a conditional promise. And so whether it be, you know, the conditional promises of the hermeneutic principle or a formula that says, if you diligently keep these commandments, folks, then God will drive your problems from you, do wondrous things for you, and take total care of you. But gang, hold on. Wait a minute. Therein lies the problem. I think you agree. "Oh, I know that if I love the Lord with all my heart, walk in all his ways, and cleave totally to him, then the Lord will indeed do wondrous things for me, through me, in me, and to me." But you see, my friends, the problem is this. Do I love the Lord with all my heart? Do I walk in all his ways? Do I cleave only to him? Now, in here you might go, "Yes, I do. But about Tuesday, you don't. All your heart knows the word all. I cleave only to him until football comes. For me. Well, the answer, of course, sadly, is no, we don't. Therefore, our first life lesson, if I'm not doing what I call the ifs, I can't expect to receive what I call the thens. You catch that? If I don't do the ifs, I can't do the thens. Well, Pastor, that was a stupid thing to say. Well, I'm sorry, that's what I came up with. The ifs and the thens. Now, this shouldn't surprise me because, don't you see, that was the promise and the purpose of the law all along, the Old Testament law. It plays out like this in Galatians 3, 24 and 25. It should come up. If not, I'll read it to you. There it is. "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." 25. "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Praise God. How would you like to be under the law? Man, read the law. I can't even, it's almost like something that the Congress makes up. It's like this, you just got all this stuff you got to do. It was a tutor to let us know we just can't make the grade. Just can't do it. And if you break one little law, you break them all. That was something I just couldn't understand, but God put it in Deuteronomy. If you break one little thing, you've broken all of the law. Wow. So Galatians 3, 24 and 25 then told us the purpose of the law. So the purpose of the law was to show us that we're not righteous, that we can't earn salvation. There's no way. No way at all. That we can't possibly keep the standard of righteousness that would be necessary to qualify us to receive the blessings that we really, really desire. Just can't do it. No blessings for you today. Because you can't keep the law. Bummer. What kind of message is this, PB? Did you catch that? In other words, the law, including the Old Testament promises, was given to produce in us the realization that although Life lesson two, we wish we could receive the blessings, but we can't fulfill the obligations. Did you catch that? Let me read that again. We wish we could receive the blessings, but we just can't fulfill the obligations to receive the blessings. For you accountants here this morning, or maybe just those here that have bank accounts, in other words, folks, we wish we could write the check, but there's no money in the bank. Now you get it? Yeah, you get it now, don't you? It's sad. But gang, check it out. There's hope, because here comes Paul telling us that because Jesus has fulfilled all the ifs in the Old Testament, the promises are all yes and amen. And you sit there like a bump on the log. Y'all will be going, yeah! You know, let's try that again. Let's see if I... No, just wait till I get my band shakalaka here. Yes and amen in Him. In Christ. Now, please look again at Deuteronomy 11:22 and see how this works. Can we bring that up? Deuteronomy 11:22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, and to walk all his ways, and to hold fast to him. If you. Well, guess what? Jesus, the Christ, has. He has kept them all. So Jesus diligently kept all the commandments. He loved the Lord his God. He walked in all his ways. He cleaved to him constantly. And so our third life lesson, if you're taking notes, Jesus fulfills the ifs perfectly. Perfectly. Now, some might be here today saying, well, I'm thankful that all the promises were kept by Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. However, what about me? Because you see, quite frankly, I've failed so miserably keeping the ifs. Do I even have any hope at all for the thens? Do I? I mean, I have just one thing after another. Not so good. Well, 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29 answers that question for us. For you see, your calling, brethren, and we all have a calling, that not many wise, according to the flesh. This is according to the flesh, not the Spirit. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not. I'm an are not. To bring to nothing the things that are. Yeah! That's my favorite verse. I like that verse. Is there more? Oh, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What? That no flesh should glory. Like, oh, look, God's good. He's just one. He loves to get a hold of me. I haven't given my life yet, but I'm so, such a prize. No, that no flesh might glory. That none might glory. In other words, Paul is declaring by his grace and for his glory. When we open up our hearts to Jesus, God placed us weak and foolish that we are. He placed us in Christ. You get that? We're tooling along. We're not all that. We think we are, right? We really think we are. We might have a great job, great grades, whatever it might be. Handsome, duckly looking. And beautiful, ladies, but we're still foolish. We're still weak. But after we ask him into our hearts, he places us in Christ. We're positionally in Christ. So now, guess what? We're perfect. And life lesson four tells us because Christ fulfilled the ifs, we get the thens. Leaving us nothing to do but say yes and amen. Bam! Shakalaka. There it is. Huh? We get it. We get it all. For us? No, we don't get it for us. Well, it's because of us. We're in Christ. And because we're in Christ, God the Father goes, oh, you get everything. You get it all. And I'm telling you, it's just, yeah, I get that. I like that. It's all free. It's just, I believe in Jesus, man. I'm in Christ. I get it all, because he doesn't see any sin at all. He says it's completely fulfilled. We've done all the ifs in Christ. In the reality of ourselves, we've done nothing. But in Christ, we've done all. We've done all. Now, gang, if that sounds too good to be true, think of it this way. Now, I've got some notes written down here. It's like, look, be open apostolic to my story. It's a little lame. But look, I don't want any emails tomorrow. Don't be critical for my illustration, please. You know, it's the best thing I could do. Just suppose I'm in Switzerland. Now, I begin to crave a hamburger, fries, and shake. Now, $5, I have a $5. Now, the $5 bill I have in my pocket will buy just that in Aberdeen, North Carolina. I can get to Aberdeen, then I can have a burger, fries, and shake. So I call the airport there in Switzerland, and I say, can you give me directions to Aberdeen, North Carolina? What is your mode of transportation, the officer asks. I answer with, well, you see, I'm pretty broke. All I have is a $5 bill in my pocket, and that's for my burger, fries, and shake. So I'm going to walk. Do you realize there's mountains to climb, rivers to ford, and a little pond called the Atlantic Ocean across? He asks, by the way, with an attitude. Yes, I say, but if I can do it, then I can get that burger. Go west, he says. Go west, young man. And good luck and God bless. But then, something happens. What happens? Well, the man says, I'm really interested in your plight. So it just so happens that Swiss Air Jumbo Jet 747 Flight 203 is leaving for Aberdeen, North Carolina in about an hour. You know what I'll do? I'll reserve a seat in first class for you. Now, as I board the jet and find my seat, I'm not concerned about directions anymore. Why? Well, because I'm in the Jumbo Jet. And I know the Jumbo Jet will make it. I don't need directions. So as we fly, people on the ground won't even know that I'm poor. And I'm foolish enough to think I could walk all the way to Aberdeen, North Carolina, for a hamburger. No, in fact, they won't even see my foolishness. Because all they will see is a fabulous jet flying through the sky headed for Aberdeen, North Carolina. Now, we're going to pause here for my story. Take a Selah and just say this. So too, folks, when we who are foolish and weak became believers, the Lord said, I have a seat placed in Christ positionally, and we're going to cruise to our destination gloriously. By the way, our life lesson 5. That's what it says. Not by walking, climbing, swimming, or hiking, but simply by resting in Him. No worries. When you're in Christ. Why do we worry so much when we're in Christ? We're just like, okay, you're not good enough, Lord. You don't hear me. You don't see this thing over here. We don't rest. We should be resting in Christ. Matter of fact, relaxing in His grace jacuzzi. Can you imagine a jacuzzi of grace? You're just floating around, enjoying it. Now, gang, on the other hand, you'll know if you are living in the old covenant or the law or legalism, if you hear yourself saying something like this, I prayed for an hour last night, or I prayed for an hour last Thursday, because we have Thursday prayer. That's why I picked that day, by the way, that I ever mentioned, the first Thursday of every month, we have prayer right here. Well, anyway, this fellow's saying, I prayed for an hour last Thursday. I read 4 chapters in Leviticus 2 months ago. I even tithed 3 years ago. Why aren't I being blessed? Church, it is a monumental day in the life of any believer who finally sees that in Jesus, it's no longer if and then, but yes and amen. But we have to get there to believe it. We need to believe that. Now check this out. Not only is all that we enjoy is because of Him, and I know this is a little difficult to get, but I want you to dwell on this week. Not only is all that we enjoy is because of Him, Christ, but all that we even crave is found in Him. You see, although we think we need Jesus to give us bread, he says, I am the bread. In John 6. When we think that we need him to give us direction, then he says, I am the way. In John 14, he knows the way for you. He can feed you the bread. We think we need him to open up a job or a relationship or even a ministry to us. He says, I am the door there in John 10. He's the door to everything in our life. He declares this, if he was here today, and he is. It's me you're craving. Nothing else but me. You see, all the promises of God, another life lesson, are not something that comes from me, he says, but are found in me. Check that out. Think about that. It's not from me, he says, it's in me. I think so many Christians, so many believers that they're just striving to get something from God, from him, instead of going, no, it's in him. It's in him. It plays out like this. You're just touring along and it's things that, you know, in life, and everything you see in life, it's all this and this, and every one of you got different things, right? It's all compartment. It's all in little compartments. If you take each compartment and go, yeah, I got to worry about this. So this over here, I'm really concerned about. Not as much as this over here, unless my car breaks. Now I'm really concerned about my car. Before I wasn't. Now I am. But look, if you're just in Christ, if you're in Christ, he knows all that stuff. He gets it all. And if you're in Christ, he knows. But take care of it. It'll happen. Why should we worry? Why should we fret? That's a new theology to me. It's not from him, but it's found in him. Now, back to my story. You got to finish the story, right? Did he ever get the hamburger? I don't know. Let's see. So there I am on 747 looking forward to a burger. But then something just amazing happens. As I'm sitting, quite comfortably, by the way, in the plane, a steward comes by with a thick, juicy steak, steaming baked potato, sauteed vegetables, crisp salad with flaky croissants. Are you getting hungry yet? And of course, chocolate mousse. Guess what, gang? Suddenly, a burger is the furthest thing from my mind. Instead, gang, you see, although I thought the jumbo jet was simply a way to get me to the... In reality, I'm finding more satisfaction than I ever could have found or imagined just being on board. Wow. So I guess the end of the story is I got steak instead of burgers. So too, we scream, oh Lord, I need help. And I do too. Listen, I'm no prima donna. I can tell you. Times I do that. But as we talk things over with him, we find that although we initially thought if we answered our prayer, we'd be happy. Isn't that what we do? Oh, answer my prayer, God, answer my prayer. He answered, oh, now I'm happy. Not so much. Although we originally thought we'd be happy, we realized it was him we were craving all along. It wasn't the answer to that prayer. It was him. Never had a big deal in your life? You're praying, and man, you're praying. You're telling everybody else to pray. And you're really next to God. You're close to God. You're reading his word. You're praying. You know, you're just loving on him, and your heart's going on. And then he answers the prayer in some miraculous way. And you go, oh, that was a good answer to prayer, and now it's good, but really? I enjoyed being with him. I enjoyed hanging in there with him. I enjoyed communicating with him. I enjoyed that light in my heart, that rest in my soul, that I just went, oh, okay, it's going to happen. I'm trusting in him. Oh, wow. Look, I look at this and sometimes I get so close to the Lord in trials and persecutions, whatever else name you want to put on it, that I just go, let me stay here. Now, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? But what James says, count it all joy, right? Count it all joy when you go through various, why do you have to say various? Trials. Why do you count it joy? Because you know, read the rest of it, perseverance and character, and you're just laying, God's just working on you, and you feel God in your heart, your life, and he's got you in his hands, and nobody can take him out of your hands. Nobody. We're craving him all along as children of God. So as a result, little by little, we find ourselves realizing the sickness is healed, or rather whether the relationship develops or the sickness is healed, the job opens, it's really all irrelevant compared to what I'm discovering just by spending time with you, Lord. Hey, gang, the price is paid. He paid it. Quit trying to pay the price. You're in the jet. You're eating steak. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the ifs so you can truly enjoy the thens. And as you do, you'll discover that what you are craving was him all along. You'll discover that, wow, in the abundance of the love that you have for him and just vice versa, and you just over the overflowing love in your heart, then you start serving him because that's all you have to do. You can't do anything else but praise him and serve him. Amen? And that's the way it works. So those legalistic people that says, hey, man, if you do that, you better get that. Just tell them, no. Come to Calvary Chapel and get the real deal. Yes and
amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know him more.